Hey there. Conscious Living and Power Radio. Hi there. This is Wendy. And, you know, there are things that happen that there are no explanations for. And then again, there are things that happen that there are explanations for, but it still doesn't make sense. One of those is trying to interview Frank Dorchak about his short stories and basically his life in general can be a dicey experience. We tried this show a week ago, earlier, same bat time, bat channel, and it was in the can. And halfway through, it completely and totally disappeared. My producer's going, Wendy, Wendy. And that was it. That's the last I heard. And Frank, I don't know what he heard. So we were talking about doppelgangers. And Frank, we're going to try this again. Glad to be back.
I'm game.
Are you up for this?
I know. I'm up for it.
Okay. Well, the cool thing is that the Do the Dead Dream book, his anthology, that's the Anthology of the Weird and the Peculiar, is now available, all right, by F.P.
Well, it will be the end of this month. It's being formatted and everything right now, and I plan to release it on or before October 1st.
Okay, so at the moment we're taping this, it's just a tease.
Right. That's true. It depends when it gets aired, I guess, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, and with the, you know, with podcasts and everything, it's like in perpetuity once it's up. So, you know, who knows how old this will be.
Oh, that's true. So yes, Wendy, Do the Dead Dream is now available. I spoiled that for you, didn't I?
Yeah.
Sorry. Matt, edit that out.
Oh, you blew it. Okay. But your doppelganger, I'm sure got it right somewhere else. Okay.
There you go.
Let's go back with that. What happened was the night before we did the interview, I had a very unique experience. We were walking the dogs, coming back to the house, and the couple walking the opposite direction said, "Whoa, how did you get around the block so fast?" They swore that they had seen us, the same, you know, configuration of two people walking, looking just like us, going the opposite direction. And they were just astounded that we could have made it around the block so quickly. And the looks on their faces said it all, because they were just kind of perplexed and had to talk to us because they wanted to make sure that we were who we looked like. The thing they said that was interesting, that the other couple had no dogs and we have dogs. So that kind of triggered a lot of different things, especially having been around the block a time or two with this doppelganger thing before. And so that's when we were doing the interview, and that was as soon as that topic of conversation came up, that's when the interview went south. Okay. It just completely, it was gone. So somewhere out there, and Matt swears it's in his August file, which the August file now does not exist. See, there you go. Okay.
Yep.
So
yep.
That would be the split. Make sense?
Yep. Very interesting turn of events.
Okay, so that's part of why this is I don't know, it's just one of those fascinating things. You can't always be sure what is real and what is the next best thing to real. My experience has been that there's some things you're not going to have an explanation for, and so just get on with it and go. Frank's short stories, if you get into these, he writes paranormal short stories. And there's since the theme of the moment with It, the Stephen King, looks like everybody's afraid of that, and the red balloons. You've got one on clowns, a short story too. And I'm glad it's a short story, because a lot of people are freaked out, period. It's like, oh. So is this a scary one? I didn't read it because I was just, by the title, it's got a knife on the front with a clown face. That was enough. Okay. Sorry.
Well, you know, I kind of like to think of it as a cute little horror clown story that the whole family will enjoy.
Oh, yay! The whole family will enjoy.
They'll be just frightened. Check your kitchen utensils.
Yeah. Okay. I had a coworker who absolutely, from the time he was a kid, he dreamed about big, tall, gangly clowns chasing him. He was not amused. So nightmares from the time he was a kid about clowns. Said, nope, don't want to go near him. So this is not one of those kind of stories?
No, they're not big and tall. They're small and sitting on your dresser right now.
Oh, yay. Okay. Be afraid. Be very, very afraid.
Well, as I heard recently on from the Low Files, you ever watch the Low Files?
No, no.
An expert on fear told Rob Lowe to lean into his fear. So I encourage all of my readers to lean into their fear, embrace the fear. face your fears.
Okay, yeah, well, that's what you're you're just really treating them with a lot of fear-friendly stories. Here, have another potato chip.
Well, I got a little bit of everything. I've got humor in there and metaphysics, philosophy, and you know, straight out horror too. I got a little bit of everything. It's stuff I've written over about 40 years of my life, and I just took some of the better ones and decided to put them together.
Well, and I did read some of your stories. That's the whole point. It's like, oh, these are really cool.
Well, thank you.
I liked was the one about, I think it's Blondie.
Yes, Blondie's.
Yeah, where this is, you know, of course, the perfect Twilight Zone where you make a little pit stop at a roadside joint, whatever it is, a diner,
right.
A dive, a tourist trap of some kind. It just has a certain ambiance about it.
Thank you. Well, yeah. Part of that was taken from real life way back when in the Air Force stationed in Northern Dakota. I had been driving back from Iowa girlfriend at the time, and it was separate vehicles. And we had stopped somewhere off the beaten track. It was O-Dark 30, and it was just a massive downpour of water. And from what I remember, she just got a little nervous driving in it. So we pulled off on some side road down a hill type thing. We found this abandoned gas station, and we just kind of parked the cars and hung out for a while waiting for the hellacious downpour to abate. And that's where I got part of the inspiration for that story. The other part of that was years and years ago, even before that, I had seen a photograph of a woman. It was a black and white photograph. I don't know where it was or what the age of the image was supposed to be, but I seem to remember it was probably like early 1900s. And this woman was staring at you out of the photograph, and it was very intense, a very, kind of a soul-reaching stare. And I just always remembered that look. And those two things inspired this story.
Okay, let me read it just so people, I'm just going to read a little bit of the intro to give you an idea how Frank writes, okay? So this is one of his many, many unique and different, not involving clowns, short stories.
Got 45 of them between two covers.
Here. Okay, so you're safe with this. Rain crashed down in severe, impenetrable sheets, as if the anger of the gods were being visited upon me. It was deafening, thunderous. I punched through it, tears blinding me. A midsummer night's dream, I mused. Some dream indeed. It'd been some time since I'd last been through Iowa, a lifetime ago for all practical purposes. But I know, all I know is that whatever I did, whomever I was with, it all paled in comparison to her. I've never met anyone like her before or since. And though we barely talked, had never really even held each other, I never stopped thinking about her. This, of course, didn't sit well with my girlfriend at the time. But as I said, that was a long time ago. Maybe the gods aren't angry, just sad, like me. That's the beginning. Where does it go from
story.
There?
I love that story.
You have to read it. Yes. And it gets you. At least it did me. Okay. But I was, you know, because, and then, you know, you get into the part where you and the girlfriend have an encounter, and there's the lady in the photo. So these stories, though, you know, you said you were a big fan of the Twilight Zone, and I do feel there's this ambiance about your stories that runs through it where it could be anybody's story. That's what's so cool about it. Anybody could kind of find themselves in these situations.
Right. And that's what I kind of like doing is I like to kind of like peel the curtain of reality back just a little, or at least enough so you can peek, sometimes actually step behind and give my interpretation of what I think may be going on behind that curtain of reality.
Yeah.
And I also like to just kind of use normal-ish people.
Yes.
Because I think everybody has weird things that happen to them, and sometimes they just dismiss them and think, oh, that didn't really happen, or it was hypnagogic or whatever. And I just kind of want to give voice to the fact that Yeah, maybe it really did happen. Maybe it was as weird as you thought it was, and there's nothing wrong with it. But it's also about telling a good story, and I love telling a good story from a different point of view.
See, I love the fact with radio, with audio, you put so much more into it, and the imagination comes alive.
Oh, yeah.
And so a lot of this, when you're reading stories, you know, you just kind of squirrel yourself away in an area that's, you know, nobody's going to bother you, whether it's indoors, outdoors, you just have that time alone. And sometimes those stories are even more compelling because they don't have all of the added bells and whistles that sometimes people try and do. Like if you listen to the audio version of Harry Potter versus seeing it on the big screen, all the details, the nuances, the relationships, all of that stuff is in the audio version. And it's like, my, they really cut out some important details to gloss over some of these relationships.
Well, it's all about the imagination, right? I mean, you leave all this to your imagination, and it can just run wild. It's sometimes even better than visually seeing something on a screen, because then there's no mystery to it anymore, right? You see it, and that's it. But if it's in your head, there's always a little leeway, a little twilight zone left to it, you know, a little gray. And that's kind of cool, a little mystery. We all love a little mystery.
Okay, so going back to the mystery, this is what Frank put on his page. Having the most weird and peculiar interview with Wendy Garrett. Quite in line with Do the Dead Dream, an anthology of the weird and peculiar. Okay, it started off nice. And then all of a sudden, I just heard white noise, and Wendy, or me, drifted into an alternate reality. Perhaps she shouldn't have dissed her doppelganger. There you go. So there's the intro. Perhaps she shouldn't. You left a cliffhanger.
I love your doppelganger, by the way. Your doppelganger is great.
Oh, okay. So these kinds of things happen. What's the latest weirdest thing that's happened? Because you and I both have these weird realities. What's your latest weird?
Oh boy, that's a good question. I would have to say this thing is kind of been kind of weird, the way everything fell out. Boy, it's been a while since I've had a really good weird thing happen. Now you're going to force me to go check out my blog. But
there you go, the blog of notes.
Yeah, I mean it's been a while. Sometimes you know they come in spurts.
Yes,
and
waves.
Yeah, you know, you get a couple of things at once, and then sometimes they just take a while. Now, I know what usually happens is I get a lot of synchronicities.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll have something pop up that will link to something else or something else. And, you know, it's just maybe for some people it's a little bit of a reach. But when you kind of sit back and look at, okay, I'm seeing an image of a white elephant here, and then there's, you know, I'm carrying trunks up to the attic, or you know, I'm visiting a zoo or something like that the next day. I mean, it's just I try to have people become more aware of these types of things,
right?
That happen, that, you know, when you see these images, it's not necessarily just because, you know, you see something like, you know, a white SUV, all of a sudden you see white SUVs everywhere. You know, I think it's a little more insidious than that, a little more subtle, I guess would be the term.
Mm-hmm.
I think everything is related. And we don't always know why or how everything is related, but I just leave myself open to the fact that everything's tied to each other somehow. It may seem ridiculous, it may seem juvenile, but don't dismiss it. Just notice it and accept it, acknowledge it, and just keep going about your day.
Okay, I got a couple for you. All right. This is one of those things where we go into a place that I've been at years, been to this place for years, never noticed a certain aspect of it. My partner, Andy, he's felt it before, didn't say anything. He's just like, yeah, it's no big deal. He experiences it and life goes on. All right. Well, this time, as we are enjoying the free pizza, because the first one somehow got messed up, wrong crust. And so we ate a couple pieces of it because it was sitting there waiting the 20 minutes for the second one to arrive. And they said, it's okay. So we're waiting. And then the second one comes out. It's great. It's what we ordered. And apparently, while he was feeling a hand on his shoulder, I felt some kind of a little, not a pinch, but at my waist with the shoulder, my hand was at the shoulder. I felt this little movement, like something was touching me. And I thought, what the, you know, so I was looking around to see what was touching me. And I heard, I took care of you. He made sure that we got more pizza, and it's the ghost. And Andy, I'd never even connected that the ghost has been there forever. And Andy's like, well, oh yeah. That's the ghost. Hmm. Well, okay. So we got a better upgraded pizza and two extra pieces because the ghost took care of us. Okay. So that's one. Now the other one, I usually don't do interviews when somebody says they're in contact with a demon. Okay. However, this one got my attention because I don't, for one thing, it's a very intense energy, but it isn't the negative. It's more of a, please get the word out. And so when I had this feeling, all of a sudden my teeth were hurting at the front of, I'm like, good grief, what the heck is this? So I said, well, for whatever reason, I'm going to check Twitter. And I'm getting at that very moment, the contact from the person who has labeled their experience a demon experience. And the image on that label, the icon, is of the mouth being taped, and it's overly exaggerated. And at that same time, I've got this whole thing going on with the front of my, I'm like, oh, thanks, please make it go away. Okay, now I've made the connection, leave me alone. But that's the connection where I just, oh, I've got it. And, you know, I don't know, usually I check Facebook or email or something, that, you know, phone messages, and I just have, well, I'll check Twitter, and there he is in the middle, just, you know, like within the last 2 minutes had been writing me about, okay, yes, I would like to, you know, please, I've got more information, and we were setting up an interview. So there you go.
Well, I can tell you some stuff that have happened, like, let's say in the past year or so. I mean, I'm trying to think, when you asked recently, I'm thinking like, you know, the past couple of weeks or a month. But I mean, I was reading a book on ghosts of upstate New York, where I'm from. And there was a section, there was a story called, I believe it was called the Hand House. And there was a section I was reading, and I was in my cousin-in-law's house up in Wyoming, and everybody was asleep in the house except for me. And I'm up just reading this section. And there was a section, let me see if I can actually read it here. Mm-hmm. It says, Hannah feels the ghost is of a young woman because the odor that accompanies the vaporous mist and passing chill is like that of a woman who hasn't bathed in a while, which was the norm 100 years ago. There's also a very faint smell of perfume. At the time I read, there was also a very faint smell of perfume. I got a massive whiff of it.
Oh, yeah.
And my wife doesn't wear it. And the only other person in the house was my cousin, and he doesn't wear it.
Not yet.
And I'm sitting there, and it is just wafting, drifting across me. And I'm like, I actually got up and walked around the corner, you know, looking around the house if there was anything else that would possibly smell like it. And there wasn't. So, I mean, stuff like that happens. I've heard my voice called out. No one's around. Just my name just called out. I've heard a woman's humming. Like, you know, like humming a tune.
Yeah.
You know, it was very pleasant. Wife wasn't around. And you'll love this one. You're familiar with Jane Roberts and Seth?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I've read all her books multiple times, but I was rereading The Education of Oversoul 7.
Absolutely good one.
Yeah. And there was a section in there where Seven was talking with one of the other characters, can't think of the name offhand. And they were talking about how the oversouls are always looked at as wise old men with beards and stuff like that, and blah, blah, blah. So as I closed the book for the night to go to bed, I'm thinking, you know, it'd be kind of neat if I could meet my oversoul. I don't ever, I mean, I'm sure I've met him in him or her in my dreams. That's fine. But it'd be nice to just kind of have a more obvious meeting.
Yeah.
So this was a period of time when I was having trouble sleeping. And as I laid down to sleep, I actually started falling asleep when all of a sudden I have this image of this face coming at me from above my bed. Really, really focused concentration coming in at me. And, you know, I open my eyes type thing and I'm going, no, 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 no. And by that, I meant, no, don't freaking wake me up. I'm just falling asleep. And this hand comes out and slaps me on the forehead and then back away. So then I just start laughing, going, okay, I got what I wanted.
Yes. See, yeah, that's the thing, you know, is you ask for it and it's there and all of a sudden you're like, wait, I changed my mind. No.
Well, I just wanted to sleep, you know, but afterwards when I realized what it was like, well, okay, that was worth not going to sleep. But it's like, I had just fallen off to sleep and I was like, no, don't wake me up.
Yep. That's worth another 2 hours of insomnia.
Yeah.
Going, what the heck? Whoa.
Oh, got another good one for you. I meant to tell you on this last interview that never happened.
Yeah.
Called The Ghost of Me. And this is probably one of the weirdest things that's ever happened to me. I was leaving work, driving home, and I was getting ready to go on a trip out of state. And I couldn't quite get all my reservation stuff done, but I had to leave. So I thought, okay, do I either want to go to the gym or go home and finish my reservations, because I really wanted to get this certain flight pairing to go where I was going. I decided to go to the gym. So I come home after the gym, and my wife is there with two other family members, and they told me the weirdest thing. They said, at this time, we thought we heard the car come into the garage, and the door opened downstairs, and your characteristic, hello. And we just kind of looked at each other, the two that were inside. There was one outside. And then nothing happened. And then they looked to each other again, and they go, you heard that, right? The other one said, yeah. So they went and looked. Nobody was there. Car wasn't there. Nothing. And I said, what time was this? And they told me, and that was the time I would have come home had I not gone to the gym.
Frank, that's why we were supposed to do the doppelganger thing. There it is, right there. No wonder we had to wait.
Well, there you go. Right. It didn't get into the previous interview. But yeah, that was pretty freaky, because both of them heard it.
Yes, it was real. It was real.
It was real.
An alternate timeline.
Yeah, so that's how I look at it. It was just an alternate timeline, and they both tuned into it.
Well, see, that's what I think is so fascinating, because this was supposed to happen. Originally, the time that we are now doing the interview was when it was supposed to happen.
Right.
And I had to make arrangements with another guest, who all of a sudden today is completely unreachable. And even though that it had been confirmed, the whole nine yards, everything was set. And yet, if I hadn't had that doppelganger experience, it never would have come up in conversation.
Right, so, and this was the originally scheduled interview, right, from when you and I talked months ago. So it is funny how it all fell out.
How everything came into play. Yeah, and see, part of that, though, is I have experienced alternate realities where I was given information about what was going to transpire, and the instructions for that experience, the very explicit said, do not telegraph. You're going to experience this happening, and while you're experiencing it, do not telegraph. Now, what that means in terms of having an experience and wanting to get through without any complications, changing the timeline, and which I didn't believe in and had no clue what was happening, but I do follow instructions well. So what was happening they were demonstrating, the guides that I do acknowledge and work with, demonstrating how easy it is for us to experience a different reality and not know it. But when it happens, we will engage it if we have some kind of an emotional connection. We're going to have to take a quick break. I'll come back and I'll explain how this played out so you have an idea. And Frank, of course, has a lot more stories to share. We want to mention it, at least two or three more, so you can, you know, get ready for Do the Dead Dream. All right? So we're going to do that. I'm going to take a quick break again. Frank Dorchak, paranormal author and Twilight Zone experiencer. And we know his doppelganger is somewhere, okay? Because if I've got one, he's got one. Probably doing another interview at this moment. Back in a few.
This is a guided meditation on parenting. Take this time to breathe deeply and close your eyes. Right now, you're completely in control. Unlike the time you and your son played basketball and you attempted to slam dunk. Or when you tried removing those raccoons from the basement. Concentrate on the soothing sound of my voice. Release the memory of when you wrestled with that beehive in your son's treehouse. Let go of the time you thought that skunk was a cat. Or when you pulled into the garage with your son's bike on top of the car. Deep breaths. Deep breaths.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Did you know that 7 in 10 girls believe they are not good enough or don't measure up in some way? I'm Amy Poehler. You may know me from film and television, but I'm also involved off-screen, encouraging young girls to be proud of who they are. Body image breakdowns and the pressure to be perfect often causes a girl's self-esteem to plummet. But by being positive role models, we can change that. The number one wish among girls is for their parents to communicate better with them, including more frequent and more open conversations. So get involved and start talking. Begin a conversation with a girl in your life about the importance of self-esteem. Tell her why she is beautiful and set an example by avoiding negative self-talk. You can make a difference in the lives of girls, and that is no laughing matter.
This message was brought to you by American Women in Radio and Television and was made possible through the generous support of the Dove Self-Esteem Fund, working together to raise self-esteem in girls everywhere. To learn more, go to campaignforrealbeauty.com. Thank you for making a difference.
There's hundreds of fun and simple things you and your family can do to live a healthier lifestyle. Here's 20 of them. Eat less, eat slower, eat smarter, eat your fruits and veggies, stop eating before you're full, up your fiber, lower your calories, get off the bus early, do some gardening, do jumping jacks, take the stairs, take one, not two, take on a new sport, take a long walk home, walk instead of drive, bend, stretch, reach for the stars, climb the monkey bars, skip the fudge bars. Search We Can online to find more ways you and your family can get healthy together. A message from the Ad Council, HHS, and NIH's We Can program.
What's your favorite color? Tell us, please.
Kids will spend 20 minutes listening to songs like this.
What's your favorite color?
How about 2 minutes to brush their teeth? Brushing for 2 minutes now can save your child from severe tooth pain later. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. 2 minutes twice a day. They have the time. A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ad Council.
I guess Frank Dorchak is an author, writer, and Twilight Zone experiencer. Well, actually, he's a fan of the Twilight Zone. So was I. I loved those shows, and I was not supposed to be up at the time that they were on, so I'd have to creep out of the bedroom and watch in the hall and then dive back into my bed where I was supposed to be asleep if the commercial came on.
And by the way, your use of the term experiencer is not lost upon me. People of Earth, just saying.
I love People of Earth. That's my favorite show. The thing is I can only see the outtakes. I can't see the whole. I don't have television. I'm going to buy the DVD, okay, when it comes out. As soon as it's available, it's mine. But I read all the bios on the characters, all the outtakes. I watch all those, and I pass them along on Twitter because I am a fan. From the time that they previewed that, I'm like, oh, this is so real.
This is great.
Fabulous. So anyway, I also, oh, never mind. Okay, so now we're going back into But I digress. Okay, back to this experience where I was told, do not telegraph, you're going to experience. I was told I would experience an alternate timeline and an alternate, basically like a parallel reality. And in this situation, I knew that this was happening because the colors of all the vehicles in the suburbs that I live in were just the black, white, gold, silver, gray, shades of gray, okay? White, gray, black, that was it. And normally, there are all sorts of colors, green, gold, red, yellow, right. No colors at all. It's like, oh my gosh, my husband's with me, so I'm not having a delusion, or if it is, it's a double. And so we're just, you know, oh my, this is beyond belief. And there were a couple things that we did during that time that let me know that this was indeed happening. The other people are there. Life is going on. And it was such a bleak kind of environment. Everything was black and white, literally, the conversations we had. There was no color. And so that was extraordinary. And it happened for a period of about 12 to 24 hours right in there. I went to sleep. I don't know what happened when I was asleep. Next day, different scenario. But the importance of not doing the telegraphing is because if you engage during that time, then you may have to stay and experience it. This way, it was just a kind of a clean break. Go in and see that, yes, indeed, your reality can shift at the drop of a hat. Who's doing that shifting? I have no idea. I have my suspicion, whether it's an extra dimensional, whether it's an ET, whether it's a guardian angel, it doesn't matter. The shifting is what changes your perspective and your reality. So there you go, Frank. How's that?
Pretty wild.
Pretty wild.
Yeah, I know.
I can't say that I have experiences on that order, short of, you know, an ethereal face coming into my face.
Yeah.
But yeah, something like that. I mean, I felt, when I went back to Virginia and visited the Manassas battlefield, I literally felt that, and that, by the way, inspired a story called Etched in Stone. But I had, for the first time I visited the battlefield back in 1990, I mean, I stepped on the battlefield grounds and I just felt like I was literally in the Twilight Zone. One foot was in the Civil War battle and one was in the present. And I was with a different girlfriend at the time, and she's like looking at me going, you know, who are you? I mean, what the hell's the matter with you? And I said, look, I can't explain it, but it's not like I can name people and who was where and what, but I've been here before and I just feel electrified. I could not shake the feeling. And I'd been back to the battlefield two other times since then, but it was that first instance that just was soul jarring. I mean, you just feel like you are spread between realities. It is a weird feeling.
Well, and yeah, I just flipped to see the story. And yeah, it's very gritty. It's very gritty. You have the battlefield, you have the whole, the everything, you're right in the intensity of that moment. But so do you attribute that to a past life?
Oh yeah. I mean, the beginning of that story is the dream I had as a kid. It was just like that. I woke up after having been bayoneted, I rolled out of the bed and I was in excruciating pain and I fell on the floor, you know, leaning up back against the bed, feeling that excruciating pain that I had just been bayoneted, and of course, you know, that dissipated after a while. And then the really odd thing that came out of this is, like, I don't know, 20 years later or whatever it was, let's say about 10 or 15 years ago, it was probably like 40 years later, but I was talking to one of my brothers, and he had the same type of dream. He had a dream where he was in the Civil War, and he was bayoneted.
Oh!
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so past life together.
And the Civil War, I mean, it affects me anytime I see anything or I hear anything or I watch a movie, because I've been to many battlefields and that battlefield is the only one that so affected me that way. Been to Gettysburg, Ball's Bluff, a bunch of different ones. But it just reaches in and grabs at my marrow. I mean, it is something that's, even though I'm a writer, it's hard to describe how that makes me feel when I see a kepi cap or a uniform, either color. Or see images and photos from that era. It just, that the Titanic and B-17s similarly affect me in that way.
Okay. Yeah, they're basically a little like an etching that's in your memory, your cellular memory. For me, let me go back to that moment too of that having a memory. I was having a massage and trying to work out some kinks and trying to work out issues, personal issues, because you can, you know, issues in the tissue, that kind of thing.
Well, I haven't heard that one. I like that.
Okay. Well, this is what got me. I'm doing, she's massaging my neck and the head and around the back of the neck. And all of a sudden she says, my gosh, it just felt like your head just rolled off the table. And at that time, because all of a sudden there was no weight to it. There was no weight to my neck, the head. And she's like, she was just really surprised. I remembered being decapitated.
Wow.
And I remembered what I was wearing, that they drugged me out of my home. And this is, you know, somewhere France. I don't have details, but that was a memory of this intense indignity. I was just so appalled and just, what?
Wow.
That they didn't have to take it that extreme. Okay. That was just completely overdoing the whole thing. And I remember being indignant, looking down at, you know, the situation.
How dare you people?
Yeah. I was like dramatically removed from my element and no recourse, because you can't put that back together. So, I just
thought, you know, talk to Mary Shelley.
Yeah. Well, okay, fine. Yeah. That's another story. But I just remember the emotions were not what I would have expected if that had happened. I, you know, the anger, all that. No, I was just really, I thought they were rude, and it was just uncalled for, you know, impertinent. Those, I'm thinking, good grief, the language, the whole nine yards, everything is just, I was just completely just caught off guard and amazed that I would have that kind of response. But I also have a birthmark at the back of my neck. And so that part was, you know, here's that birthmark, and then there is the tie of that in that equation.
Pardon
and it
me.
Wouldn't have known until, you know, I had that massage, and then not all of that, but my throat, I couldn't take a deep breath. So it got rid of that issue of not being able to, you know, speak your piece, state that all those things were tied together. So anyway, but that, yeah, it's very real when it happens. And I just was surprised all the drama that was involved in that one moment of the separation. It's like, here, all these emotions came tumbling out on top of it. And I'm like, whoa.
Wow.
So yeah.
That's kind of like with the battlefield situation, is it was like an emotional type thing as well, where it just, well, actually another more recent one was the B-17 tail gunner, where I wrote the story Tail Gunner. I had an experience that was just extremely emotional, kind of like you were just saying, where I was in the gym in this room that's used for, you know, like aerobics and stuff like that. And there was a fan above me turning, and I was just lying there stretching, looking up into the fan, when I suddenly became intensely emotional, and the whole thing of the B-17 tail gunner just flooded over me. And it was like, you know, on the verge of tears type thing. I was that emotional. And then that turned into a story about a tail gunner whose plane was shot down, and the empennage, the end of it with the rudder and stabilizer, had fallen away from had been shot away from the fuselage of the aircraft. So it was tumbling.
Mm-hmm.
And that turned into, you know, the story that I wrote. And it was just, I mean, it followed me for days. And the funny thing was, I think it was the first day I had that image, I went home and I turned on the TV, and they had the B-17 movie, Memphis Belle.
Okay.
Was on. I mean, it was on. I turned on the TV and it was actually on. And it's a B-17 going through World War II.
Uh-huh.
And it was about, they were showing a scene where, you know, there was a tail gunner in the back and all this kind of stuff. So, I mean, it just was, I mean, again, a synchronicity as well. But, yeah, so I know what you're saying. You get this emotional thing that just comes out of nowhere and just blasts you. And you feel, you know, if you're out in public or something, you feel kind of self-conscious, because, like, how am I looking? You know, are there, you know, tears coming out of my eyes or what? What's going on here?
Well, and yeah, it is real. Everything around you.
Oh, yeah, it's real.
Moment. Yeah. And everybody, yeah, like your girlfriend would have said, what?
She was a good sport about it, you know, because, you know, she knew me. But, yeah, I mean, it's just weird when you're walking around kind of like, you know, you're kind of not all there.
Right. In between states. That, okay, here and now. Okay, so I love the blog. This is a WordPress blog. You've also got your website. Okay, mm-hmm. So people can go to the website and that's okay. But the blog has all the stories. Or at least, you know, there's a whole list of the short stories
right,
you can check out.
There's a bunch of them there. Not all of those are in the book, but mm-hmm. there are, most of them are in the book, and they're reworked far better than they were on the blog. When I posted them on the blog, I kind of wanted them in as close to their original state as possible, and I corrected really obvious, poor, bad mistakes and stuff like that. Yeah. But for largely, I didn't rewrite them. Except where I stated I did. And then the better of those, I spent the rest of the year and a half, 2 years, reworking the heck out of them. And I'm publishing them through the Dead Dream Anthology.
Okay, now with this, the website, because what I get when I am on Facebook for your FP Dorchak page, I get the blog. And you also have fpdorchak.com.
Right.
So which one do you, I mean, you can go to both, but which one do you prefer?
Well, if you want to just go to the blog, then you would go to, you can either go to the fpdorchak.wordpress.com, and that's my more mainstream writing, everyday life blog, and that's where all the short stories are posted.
Yeah.
And then I have my other blog, which is fpdorchakrealitycheck, all one word, .wordpress.com. And that's where I post all the weird stuff that happens.
I've got the headline. Oh, yeah.
All the weird stuff that happens.
Interview update, too. I'm right there at the top of the page.
Oh, yeah, for now, right?
Okay, fine. And this is, you know, if this is 5 years from now, you're just going to have to go back to August 30th, 2017. Okay?
Right.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And then there's the web page fpdorchak.com. So I'm trying to figure out how to deal with the blogs and the web page because I wanted to put them all together, but technology wasn't playing nice, and I got tired of messing with help desk people.
I know. Yeah. They don't always. Everything doesn't always transfer, and that they don't tell you that until after you complete the
mm-hmm.
the. And then they're gone. No, don't do that. Don't hit final. Don't hit. No.
Yeah.
So fortunately, Frank did not hit final. He still has the WordPress.
I think I'll just keep them up as it is. I may just put a link on my website to these instead of posting directly on the web page.
Yeah.
Links there. Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be great because you know you've done all that work. Just let it go.
Oh yeah, okay. I was not going to dump this at all. I mean, there's some cool stuff in there, like the Silver Man. Here's something weird. The Silver Man. Okay. When we were kids and way back in Lake Clear, New York, my dad was renovating the rooms where my other brothers were at. So we were all hunkered down in my room. And my room is an old 1880s house. And my room had a main bedroom and then steps going down into a small area, which used to be a storage type area. And my youngest brother, Greg, who I call the Renaissance Man, he's an actor, producer, an indie filmmaker, a writer. He does it all. Stand-up comedy. He does all this stuff. Anyway, he was sleeping down there, and my brother, Chris, the next oldest to me, I'm the oldest, we were sleeping up at the top. And it was at night, and there was the windows were open, and there was a full moon shining in the window. And my brother, Greg, says he looked up there one night and he saw a silver being sitting on the edge of my bed, straight back, feet planted on the floor, just looking at me. And that when he looked at him, the being slowly turned his head towards him, paused for a disinterested moment, and then looked back at me. And Greg said that he could feel like he was just, you know, he wasn't interested in Greg. He wasn't interested in him. He was just interested in me. So my young brother, who was probably, you know, single digit age, did what all kids of single digit ages do in situations like that, and he pulled the blanket over his head. And when he got enough guts to pull it back down, of course, the being was gone.
Yeah, I was like, oh.
And he didn't tell me that. He did not tell me that until about 10 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
And you'd be the perfect person to tell.
Yeah, I know. And he goes, didn't I tell you that? No, you never did. So then I wrote up a blog about it, and I had a guy do a graphic for me. So look for the Silver Man. It's in there.
Okay,
I've always kind of felt watched, you know? I have always kind of felt watched in a good way.
Yeah. Yes. In a good way. And that's my sense too, is that, you know, just because we can't see them doesn't mean they're not here.
Yeah.
And my other experience is that a lot of times people are frightened by it, and there's no need to be afraid, because what you're fearing is actually oftentimes something that's there trying to help you. And at least I've dealt with enough people who once they figured out that they just needed to open their mind a little more and ask, what is the purpose? Why are you here? Can I help you? They'll get an answer instead of just going, and putting the sheet back over.
This brings on whole other rabbit holes to go down and discuss for sure. Because I think, you know, like attracts like, but then sometimes it's not so much what you're attracting, it's what you're putting out. It's like I've read about how poltergeist activity isn't so much an external being knocking things around. It's the individual in the middle of it all unknowingly knocking things around based on the chaotic energy running around this person.
Yeah, a lot of discord, a disconnect,
mm-hmm.
incredible PK energy that they don't, they completely disassociate.
For whatever reason, right, yeah. Some people it manifests that way, and then most people it manifests in, you know, getting fired or people, you know, cutting you off or being rear-ended, stuff like that. I mean, it's all energy. Everything in life is energy, even your thoughts. So whatever you radiate is what you're going to get.
Since we've got this, your title story, do the dead dream, do they?
You have to read the book.
Or is that going to spoil it?
Of course they do, Wendy. Of course the dead dream.
Okay. And if you ever read anything by Frank, then you know that that might not be as easy an answer as he is putting out. Okay. So there could be just a little twist to the story.
Indeed. There usually is.
All right. So, well, that's the Twilight Zone-esque. All right. And that's why we like it, because it's like, okay, you have to read it, and then you have to figure out if it's going to go the direction you think, or if it will completely surprise you, and the surprise is worth it. Okay, so do the dead dream? That's up to you to read and find out. All right, did I gloss over any of the stories that you're one of your favorites? Did we forget
one?
Well,
you know, you asked me that in the interview that never was. And
I know.
That was kind of hard to come up with, because I just really love my work here. I mean, these are my favorite stories, and they're different. I love them for different reasons. There's some really intense ones and gnarly ones that are kind of dark, like Rewrite and Dinner at Luigi's. You know, they're really intense stories.
Is The Brain in there?
Brains is in there. Yeah, that's a good old horror one.
Dark one.
But, you know, Blondies, I really love Blondies. Tail Gunner, I love that one. You know, one that really, when I was going over and reworking these a couple weeks ago, doing the final polish, actually, one that really surprisingly got me emotional afterwards was The Red Envelope. I mean, that's kind of an intense story, dealing with an alcoholic individual, that it just caught me off guard. I mean, I actually started bawling when I was done editing it. And
wow.
I'd never done that with this story. I usually did that with, like, Broken Windows. That's one that always gets me emotional.
Okay. Well, I didn't see the red envelope.
Red envelope. Yeah. But I want to read an endorsement I got from a fellow writer friend of mine who's a co-founder of Hex Publishers. It's a small press. You're going to love this. F.P. Dorchak writes, like a hot rodder heading toward a brick wall. Edge of your seat entertainment. I pondered over each of these stories long after I'd finished reading them. That's what great writing's about. I love that first line. Like a hot rodder heading toward a brick wall.
Splat.
Love it. Did not see that coming.
In your face. Whoa,
yeah, Dean
hit
is
it,
great.
Man.
Okay. And that's by Dean Wyant. He's a co-founder of Hex Publishers. He's a great guy.
Okay, and if you understand the doppelganger, the parallel, the altered reality states, that hot rodder goes through that brick wall like nobody's business, and you see him on the other side, and at you going, gotcha.
Yeah, sometimes
that's
it ain't pretty.
That's Frank's writing, okay? Don't take it for granted. You got to read it. Hey, thank you, Frank. I appreciate you making time to do this for the first time again.
Thank you, Wendy, again for the first time.
Okay. This will play. All right. We've got it. So we're going to let you go and we'll get this thing posted and you can listen to it. Wendy's Coffee House on Empower Radio with Frank Dorchak, F.P. Dorchak, a writer who will keep you guessing.
And thank you for having me on, Wendy. And thank you to your listeners for listening.
Thank you. See ya.